Welcome to the Good Fight Radio Show, a program dedicated to bringing you vital and uncompromised truths that you won't hear in the mainstream media, discussing contemporary issues in light of the Bible and how these issues relate to family, culture, and the church. The heart of this show is to glorify Jesus Christ and expose the works of darkness as He is commanded in Ephesians 5:11. God states in His Word that He would rise up ministries in the last days to do mighty exploits that would turn many to righteousness. Now here's your host, Good Fight Ministries' own Chad Davidson.
Welcome back to the Good Fight Radio Show. I am your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And with me, as always, is the president and founder of Good Fight Ministries and pastor of Blessed Hope Chapel in Simi Valley, California, Pastor Joe Schimmel. How are we doing today?
Doing great, bro.
Also with me, as always, is the show's producer, Tony Palacio. How you doing?
I'm doing blessed, peeking around my computer screens back here.
Well, I'm so glad you can see me. You know, Lord willing, I will have a studio, and it'll be a little easier for you to gaze over at us.
We love you.
But, yeah, sometimes it's good to keep you over there, bro. No, I'm just kidding. No, praise God. We have a very serious subject to talk about because, you know, we received a lot of flack, and we'll get into that later. But the President of the United States has received a ton of flack on both sides of the aisle because of something, not that he retweeted, but something that he quoted someone else saying about him. And not only did he quote it, but he also said how great the quote was. So I want to read what he had to say here because he didn't simply just retweet it, he actually quoted it. Not only did he quote it, but he tells us this. He says, "Thank you to Wayne Allen Root for the nice words." And here's the quote. "President Trump is the greatest president for Jews and for Israel in the history of the world. Not just America. He is the best president for Israel in the history of the world, and the Jewish people in Israel love him." Now that doesn't sound too bad, but let's keep going. Quote, "like he's the king of Israel."
They love him like he's the king of Israel, right?
Yeah, they love him like he's the king of Israel. They love him like he is the second coming of God. But American Jews don't know him or like him. They don't even know what they're doing or saying anymore. It makes no sense. But that's okay. If he keeps doing what he's doing, he's good for all Jews, blacks, gays, everyone. And importantly, he's good for everyone in America who wants a job. End quote. And then he says, Donald Trump, wow. And then tag Newsmax, Fox and Friends, and OANN in that post. So obviously he wasn't against what was said there. And Joe, one of the things that, you know, we're going to get into this right now, but being objective when he says things that are ridiculous, okay, I think it's really important here. So we're going to have to talk about this. Do you think he's the second coming of God, maybe?
Like this man? Let me think about it. Absolutely not. You know, it's really sad, actually, because, and Christians, you know, I encourage our brothers and sisters that are listening, part of our group here, because we look at it as you guys are part of our family, and it's what this show is for you guys. You have to take off your Trump hat for a second if you're a strong Trump follower, because we've had some pretty hateful statements from people that seem to love Trump more than Jesus, because we look at things from the scriptural perspective. Jesus made us. God became a man, the person of Jesus Christ. He died for us. He redeemed us. He's preparing a place for us. We're to be with Him forever. He's our Lord and Savior. Donald Trump is just a man. We recognize him as a president. We also recognize him as a president that's done some really good things. Has taken some, made some strong statements, and his administration has done some good things regarding the pro-life issue, which is a huge part of what we stand for as well. We don't particularly agree. When he was becoming president, one of his keynote speakers was, you know, pro-gay marriage and everything else. But a lot of times Christians are overlooking some of his positions and just acting like he's correct on every issue. I mean, our deficit is growing radically, that it's going to be inherited by our grandchildren if the Lord tarries. There's a lot of different things that are going on that we need to look at. But overall, do I appreciate, would I rather have him as a president than Hillary Clinton? It's not even a question in my mind, you know, 1,000 times more. However, I've always, and I just got to be honest with you, I've always looked at him askance. I've watched him because I'm familiar that with the fact that politicians are just that. They're politicians are very, I mean, politicians has its own definition. We just say the word, but obviously it has a meaning that, you know, doesn't necessarily conjure up evil thoughts or bad thoughts. But I'll say this: he's an opportunist. Okay, he needed the evangelical vote. He pandered to the evangelical vote. He feigned being a Christian. And I'm not saying, I don't know where he's at today, but I do know this, that before the election, when he was asked if he had ever asked for forgiveness, he flat out denied being a true Christian. And the way he did it was by saying that he was sinless. He said he never sinned. He said, never sinned. I don't need to ask for forgiveness. And the scriptures say in 1 John chapter 1, 8 and chapter 1, verse 10, he that says he's without sin is a liar and the truth is not in him. The Bible calls Donald Trump a liar. And by stating that, by the way, presidents are role models. He just let a lot of people know that they didn't need Jesus, you know. A lot of people have that opinion that they don't really have sin. Sin is not really sin. They redefine it or what have you. But that's a huge issue. But when you read these quotes, these are very interesting. Last night, and I mentioned to Chad that I want to do a show on this because it troubled me. Because, I mean, this is the Washington Post, and I agree. I know the Washington Post is a left-wing rag for sure. But listen to what they're saying. It's just interesting. CNN, too. I'd heard that CNN had somebody on saying that he's the Antichrist because of these things. Washington Post says their headline was, "I am the chosen one. Trump again plays on messianic claims as he embraces King of Israel title." So they're basically saying that, hey, he's claimed to be the King of Israel. He's claimed to be the Messiah. He's claimed to be the chosen one is basically what they're saying, or at least he's playing on that whole idea. And it was right after those quotes where he basically tweets this guy's quotes about that the Jewish people love him because they look at him like he's the King of Israel. They love him because he's like the second coming of God. And then a little bit later in the day, he says, "I'm the chosen one." Now, let's get the context here because some are just quoting that without giving the context. The context was he was answering questions regarding China and taking a hard line with China and trade and everything else. And he's saying, "I'm the chosen one," in the context of that. But it's not usually how you talk, though, when you're talking about, you know, international affairs. So it's kind of interesting, especially, you know, after these other tweets. So when I look at these things, I'm just going to let you know, Christians need to be aware of anybody that and whenever somebody's the most powerful guy in the world, you know what I'm saying, and claims to have affinity toward Christianity and toward Jews, you better be keeping your eye on him, because guess what's going to happen in the end times? There is going to be an Antichrist figure, and I'm not saying that this guy's the Antichrist. I'm saying we need to be aware, because guess what? There are many, Hitler was an almost Antichrist, you know? There are many who are like almost Antichrist types, and it's almost like Satan has this kind of deal where he just, you know, he rolls these guys out. I'm not saying Trump's being rolled out by Satan, you know, but I'm saying he rolls guys out and they're like almost like tests to see how far people will go. And Hitler was nothing compared to what the ultimate Antichrist will be. But my concern is this, is when you have all these Christians just ignoring, like this is no big deal. And I'm telling you right now, I was thinking about it when this was happening. Because I remember when Oprah Winfrey said in one of her speeches for Obama that he was the chosen one. And guess what Christians did? Myself included, they freaked out. Now, I didn't freak out, but in my heart I was like, ooh, that's crazy. She's calling him the chosen one. That's when they were talking about that all these messianic pictures of him, you know, Time Magazine or Newsweek, whoever it was, and he's going to heal the planet and heal climate change just because of who he is, and he gets a Nobel Peace Prize right away. Of course, you keep your eye on these guys. But you know who I keep my eyes on? I keep my eyes on those who most people or a lot of people would let their guard down. You can't, Hitler came in as very conservative in certain areas, cleaning up the streets, concerned about morality, things of that nature. Woo, then look what happened, right? Well, when I look at Trump and I see him re-quoting and saying, you know, that these are really nice words about him being the second coming of God, that concerns me. And then when you have the liberals worried about him being the Antichrist, but Christians don't even bat an eye, you know? That's concerning. So I'm telling you right now, and this is my argument, if Obama had tweeted something like this that somebody else had said, that, and he said he really liked these nice words that people were saying he's the second coming of God, he's the King of Israel, how would Christians react to that?
Yeah, they would have lost it. Man.
They would have.
Lost it.
Now, should we just say, oh, well, you know what, he's friendly toward Christians, so this is acceptable. This is not acceptable. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ and he is the passion of your life, you should say, you know what? Nobody should, use those words in a trivial way of themselves, you know?
You know, it's interesting for this to come out, you know, right now, because last week we got a ton of flack on our Facebook page, YouTube, and everywhere else, simply because our Jeffrey Epstein video. And if you guys haven't watched that, please go and watch that. I mean, it's, especially with everything that's going on, we had made a video about Jeffrey Epstein, his connection with the Clintons, his, you know, pedophile island, Lolita Express, and all that. We had made that video 7 months ago. And then all of a sudden, now everyone wants to talk about it, you know? And it's like, hey, no, this has been going on. People know, should know what's going on. And one of the things you mention is simply the facts that have been proven of Trump's ties with him. But you're also very clear to say, hey, he also distanced himself, right? He kicked him out of Mar-a-Lago. And he all everything that anybody who is a pro-Trumper has said to us, you've already stated, whether in our podcast show or on that video, okay?
I talked a lot more about Clinton's ties to him.
Most of the video is about Clinton's ties and some of their craziness. But we had people coming on our site literally telling us, because you're not, you know, you're not going out there and going to bat for Donald Trump right now, well maybe you guys should rename your ministry Satan's Fight Ministries. And somebody actually said this. They said, quote, "You can't be a Christian and opposed to President Trump's agenda." Okay, while we may like some of the things that he's done, and I think that's very clear, we've said that a million times, okay? We may like those things he's done. There's also a lot of nonsense he's done, okay? There's also a lot of pro-gay. He is the first, okay? And we want to talk about Obama. Obama said he did not believe in gay marriage at Saddleback Church with heretic Rick Warren, okay? Sitting at his church, he said that. He did not believe in gay marriage. Okay, now that was probably just to get some votes. But nonetheless, he said that. Trump, on the other hand, is on the other side, okay? You have guys that are political talking heads like Charlie Kirk bragging about all the progression in the homosexual community and that, yes, look at under Donald Trump, Botswana is now having, homosexuality is now legal, yay, and all these gay rainbow flags that Trump's holding up. And, oh, but if you're not behind that agenda, you know, you're not really Christian. And this is where we say, can't we actually look up things objectively and say, hey, this is good that this is happening. More pro-life legislation has probably happened recently with everything that's going on and a lot of the birth, you know, the bills that have gone through in some of our more conservative areas. I mean, it's beautiful, some of the stuff that's happened. Now, he did come out against some of those, but nonetheless, it's been awesome that it's happened. He just, and it was just on the recent 511 News episode on Friday, that he, guess what? Him and their administration put together something that cost Planned Parenthood $60 million because they proved to them that, guess what, you're really about abortions. Okay, so there is a lot of stuff that we can say, this is awesome. But when he says stuff like this and we don't bat an eye, I'm sorry, you're not being objective. You're not caring about truth. That's just how I see it.
Well, yeah, and that's a good point, Chad. And that's the point we need to make, is that we need to make a distinction between good and evil. You can't just carte blanche, you know, hey, you know, everything this guy does is great. Or if you say anything negative about what's going on, or this is a bad policy, or this is dangerous, or this is deadly, oh, how dare you speak about that, you know, regarding President Trump? It's like, what in the world? Christians are supposed to have discernment, you know? And it's imperative that we do. And I think it's important, too, that we understand when we look at this whole picture, there is a bigger picture. And this is one of the things that bothers me. And, you know, as not just, you know, as a Christian, also bothers me as a pastor with pastoral care. I'm really concerned And that my brothers and sisters in the Lord, and also we minister, the people we minister to long beyond the borders of our own so-called, you know, church, quote-unquote, building, I'm concerned that when the Antichrist does appear on the scene, because Jesus said that, you know, false Christs and false prophets shall arise, doing great signs and wonders, deceiving if possible, even the elect. And he told his apostles over and over again, don't be deceived. And I'm really concerned that I mean, when the Antichrist comes on the scene, guess what? A lot of people are going to love him. A lot of conservatives are going to love him. I pointed out before, yeah, Hitler himself was pretty conservative at first, you know? So it's important that people understand that when the Antichrist comes, there's going to be a lot of Jews and a lot of Christians that are going to love him. In fact, the false prophet, it says, will look like a lamb. He's going to look like he represents Jesus, but he's going to speak like a dragon. So you can't just go by appearance. You have to go by what's being said. And so not only with, you know, pushing a lot of the gay agenda, but also, you know, having a keynote speaker after he became president on his platform, speak for gay marriage and all that, you know. But denying that he'd been a sinner in the past, and I haven't seen him recant that and say, yeah, you know, I'm a sinner. I misspoke. You know, I need Jesus. We all need Jesus. I haven't seen that come around yet. But this is a concern as well. Guess what? Jesus said, I've come in my Father's name and you receive me not. If another one comes in his own name, him you will receive. In respect to the coming Antichrist. And my concern is this. If we're going to put, if we're just going to use all critical, put all critical thinking aside and only put on a discernment cap when a liberal is speaking and not when a conservative pundit or a conservative political leader is speaking or his decisions, we're not going to question them. We're going to be sunk, man, because the Antichrist is going to, you know, he's going to be attracting a lot of positive feelings from many, many professing Christians and Jews. In fact, it's interesting. Some say, well, look how friendly that, this guy's whole statement here, Wayne Roots, his whole statement is about how friendly and good he is to Israel. And that's why he's like the second coming of God to them. Do people realize that Israel is going to be duped by someone who's going to be very friendly to Israel and they're going to receive the Antichrist? Jesus says, I come in my Father's name, you receive me not. But if another one comes in name, him you're going to receive. Because there's going to be a 7-year deal made by the Antichrist with the nations, including Israel, to regarding the land and peace with Israel. And there's going to be a great deal. Well, you know, Donald Trump's all about, he wrote a book called The Art of the Deal. He has his son-in-law Jared on making a deal. And he would love to swing a deal of peace between, you know, the Muslims and the Jews. But Jesus, the Bible says when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon them. We can't have peace until the Prince of Peace comes. And guess what? Jesus is the real King of Israel. He's the Son of God who is coming. He is God who is coming again. He is not only a King of Israel, he's a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We need to be excited about him. And it's just interesting, as I look at Trump, I'm like, well, this is his first term, you know? And I've seen Trump speak very, very highly of people. Like he just loves, you know, this person, his cabinet, that person. And then the person, you know, he doesn't agree with him anymore. He fires them. Then all of a sudden, there's a lot of hateful words toward them or a lot of, he speaks with disgust. And like, this is a guy who's very fluid, you know. He's like the water, you know. He very much does have a messianic type complex. And I could very easily see him turning on Christians in his second term. He needs Christians to get voted again. Get voted for a second term. But in a second term, how do you know he's not going to turn his back on Christians because he doesn't need them anymore, and he has largely shown himself to be an opportunist. Now, I hope I'm wrong, and I'm not saying wrong about him being the Antichrist or not. I'm not saying he's the Antichrist. I'm wrong in even speculating that he would do that. I'm not saying he would. I'm not saying, I think he's going to turn on Christians in his second term. I'm saying we need to be ready for something like that. We need to be saying, hey, this is a possibility because this guy is an opportunist and then he has nothing to lose. In his second term, right now, he can't be a warmonger. He wouldn't get voted in again. But guess what? His second term, who knows? I mean, guess what? Anything goes the next 4 years because he doesn't, you know, he's very much into doing what he wants to do. And the Bible calls the Antichrist the man of sin. You know, the son of perdition. And it says the Antichrist will sit in the temple of God, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, showing himself that he is God. So I get uncomfortable with when the most powerful man in the world states something, tweets something, a statement that's been made already by somebody else saying he's the second coming of God, he's the King of Israel. That makes me uncomfortable. Is it because I think he's the Antichrist? No. If I thought he was the Antichrist, I'd be telling you that. But guess what? I do think. I think Christians need to be more offended when anybody tweets this type of stuff. If me as a pastor went up to people and said, and I went up before the congregation, says, I really loved what so-and-so said to me today, earlier today. So-and-so said, like, I'm like the second coming of Christ, you know? And I'm like the King of Israel. And that's a really nice thing of you to say about me. What kind of ego would I have to even think that I'd like that statement about myself? Somebody made that statement about me, I'd say, wait a minute, I'm going to back up so you don't get struck by lightning. That's not me. You know, I'm a worm. I rely totally on Jesus. It's by his grace that I'm saved, you know, and I know that he doesn't think he's sinned. At least he hasn't thought that in the past. But this is very, very concerning to me. First of all, because guess what? A lot of people believe that Jesus Christ is coming before the Antichrist. You know, they believe that he's coming secretly, you know. So I think it's important, too, that we understand that if you know your Bible, you can't get deceived by anybody. I'm not talking about Trump now, but let's say when the real Antichrist comes. I'm not talking about Trump, but the Antichrist comes. The Antichrist is going to claim to be God. He's going to sit in the temple of God, as I mentioned, showing himself that he is God. Now, I think it's important that we get this. If you're a Christian, you know he's coming first. Jesus in Matthew 24 gave us an outline. He said there'd be a falling away, first 12 verses. After that, verses 15 and following, then the Antichrist, then verses 29 through 31, then he comes back. In the midst of that, he warned about deceptions, and he warned about false comings, secret comings. Okay? When he comes, he says it'll be like lightning shining from the east to the west. It'll be obvious. So he's telling us not to look for some man on earth to be him. That's important that we get that and we stick that in our hearts, that if someone claims to be the second coming of Christ, the second coming of God, and we're not saying Trump's claiming that. He just, you know, tweeted a statement where somebody said that and he liked it, which is, to me, very, very horrific. That's okay, it's still stunning to me that Christians aren't like appalled about this. And but my point is this, is that Jesus talked about when the Antichrist comes, he's coming first. When Jesus comes, it's after the Antichrist. It's going to be in glory with his angels, right? Same order of events that Paul gave in 2 Thessalonians. Remember that, chapter 2? I'm not going to quote all the verses, but he says, concerning Christ coming, I'll be gathered together to him. That's the rapture. He says, that won't happen until what happens? The falling away, and then the Antichrist is revealed. Show himself that he's God in the temple. Same exact outline Jesus gave. So understand this, brothers and sisters, that anybody claiming to be the Messiah, when the Antichrist sits in the temple of God showing himself that he is God, I don't care what kind of miracles are being done, but Jesus said, if possible, even the elect will be deceived. It's going to be so powerful, so gripping, and so seductive. And the persecution will become so strong against Christians, many people will fall away at that time. So we have to keep in mind that if someone's claiming to be Jesus Christ or claiming to be the Messiah, and you're not raptured and you don't come back with him first, you know it's not him. Also, when Jesus Christ returns, it says his feet will touch down the Mount of Olives, and there'll be a great earthquake, and it will cleave in two, and the waters will come out of the Mount of Olives and flow into the Dead Sea. When Jesus steps foot on the first thing that happens when he steps on the earth is there's a cataclysmatic event where the Mount of Olives cleaves, and you'll be with him because you'll be coming back with him. So I think if we have this in mind, and we keep the warnings of Scripture in mind, John says in 1 John 2, little children, you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, singular. Even now, many are in the world. The Scriptures do warn about the coming Antichrist. Unfortunately, our pre-trib brothers say, oh, we're not supposed to be even, looking for the Antichrist. We're supposed to be waiting for the rapture. Are you kidding? Jesus in the Olivet Discourse gave the signs that lead up to the second coming of Christ, and the Antichrist appearing on the scene is one of those signs. In fact, when I'm going somewhere, I look for signs, and when I see the signs and I get closer to where I'm going, I get more excited. Guess what? When I see the Antichrist coming, I'm not going to freak out. Jesus said, when you see these things happening, lift up your head, for your redemption is drawing nigh. I'm going to get more excited. But in the meantime, I'm going to watch anybody. I don't care if his name is Barack Obama, and he's a liberal, or Donald Trump, and he claims to be a conservative. I'm going to watch them, and when they're making messianic-type statements or liking messianic-type statements, I'm going to be more weary of them. As it stands right now, I don't say he's the Antichrist. I say, you know what? We need to pray for our president. I need to be thankful. And you know what? We've talked about it before on this show. I've talked about it from the pulpit, things I'm thankful, positions he's taken. But from the get-go, I'm not going to be one of those guys that just says all these positive things because it's popular and I don't want to ruffle anyone's feathers. Yeah, we got a bunch of pro-Trump people in our audience. My wife voted for Trump. I didn't vote for Trump, okay? I think she did. I'd have to ask her. I asked her not to, but told her, it's up to you to do whatever you want to do. Ultimately, I knew in California that my vote, we voted for sure, but I knew my vote wouldn't swing the election one way or another because he won by a landslide here. However, I've told people, the Never Trumpers, I said, but hey, guess what? If I knew my vote did count in regard to Trump versus Hillary, I would have still voted Trump. Okay, that's just because I'd much rather have him than Hillary. But when I see these type of statements, oh Lord God, I'm just wondering where this is going to go. So keep our eye on it, pray, and keep your eyes open because he may have another term, and who knows what might happen then.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've heard a lot of the term, Trump derangement syndrome, and that's usually
used by the left.
It's used of the left. Of the left, because I don't know if you guys remember election night. I remember watching it and then watching
the
videos.
Mass meltdowns everywhere.
I was like, whoa, man, like this is incredible. And you see the Rachel Maddows and the MSNBCs and the CNNs, and these people, they were just out of it. I mean, it was just so incredible. But the problem is you see the pendulum swing, and then you get it on the other end, where now it's like, well, if you're a Christian, you don't support Trump, you're not really a Christian. Like, what is this? Like, if you don't understand what's going on, you don't understand the deep secrets of what he's doing. Everything he said, I'm not joking, this is stuff we see on our page. There's everything he does is calculated. It's all that, you're like, you got to give me a break. If this is calculated, this is demonic. Like,
it reminds me of Psalm 146, where it says, do not trust in princes, in mortal man, in whom there is no salvation.
Amen. That's, A very good one. No, Jeremiah says, "Cursed, you know, cursed is one who puts his trust in the flesh, and then man can't put your trust in man."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. Amen. But it also tells us in 1 Timothy 2, first of all, then I urge the that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men.
Amen.
Verse 2, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. And that's exactly what we want out of Donald Trump. That's what we want to pray for. And we want to pray for his salvation. You know,
it's not tranquil and quiet on Facebook, is it?
No, it's certainly not.
And if you read verse 4, he goes on to say, for God wills that all would be saved and come to knowledge of the truth, I believe, right after that. And then, you know, after that, I think verse 5, it says, there's one mediator between God and man Christ Jesus. So that's a salvific passage, you know. And we're supposed to pray for them so we can preach the gospel and have peace to preach the gospel. And we can't just say, hey, we got to call this into question, call that into question. And so I think it's, and we stress this as well, you know, that, like you're just doing right now, Chad. We want to pray for our leaders. We understand that, you know, that God has ordained government, Romans 13. We can't ignore those types, those scriptures. This is my point. We need to obey all the scriptures. You know, if we're told by the government to pay our taxes, we need to pay our taxes. If we're told by the government, don't preach the gospel, guess what? In Acts 4 and 5, man, they were whipped and flogged, and they went in and continued to preach the gospel anyway, and they said, better to obey God than man. When the government says to take the mark of the beast, the Antichrist, the false prophet, the beast system, we have to refuse it to the point of death. So the point, if we want to be discerning Christians, we can't just say, hey, I'm a Republican, and whatever Republicans do is fine. We need to say, hey, I'm a Christian first and foremost, you know? And not only is this important, but you know, I've sat through this whole last 2.5 years with the left saying there was all this collusion that went on with Russia, and they've just gone mad, and all these allegations and all these lies and so forth. And guess what? I've shaken my head. I prayed about it. I felt even bad, you know, honestly. I felt bad for the president and all they're going through, and thought how much more good could get done if these guys would actually work on some of the problems that we have rather than going after a lie. And we know this. We knew this was a lie from a lot because of the fights that weren't and all that stuff that's been going on. And now, that's being looked into. We'll see what happens there. So in many ways, I've been like pulling for Trump, like because I know there's a lot out there against him that is evil, that is nefarious. But at the same time, I have to say, I got to look at this too. That's all I'm saying. Let's look at everything that's going on. Let's be wise, discerning Christians, and let's make sure that our Christianity trumps Trump and everything else that we look at.
Yeah, amen. And that's the thing, is that we're not supposed to take every liberal thought captive, every Republican thought captive, but every single thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we will destroy those speculations. You know, this is a spiritual warfare that you are in. And I'm asking you now, if you're the kind of person that if I went down, just do your own, test yourself, okay? Go through your Instagram, go through your Twitter or your Facebook, or whatever you got, look through it. And if I can't tell you're a Christian, but I can tell you're a Republican, maybe you should do some, you know, check what you're trying to do, what you're trying to accomplish on there.
Yeah, try to be more salt, be more light. We're not condemning you. We're just, Chad's just encouraging you to say, hey, you know what? I need to be more of a light. And you know, Lord, let my life count in this world. So when I leave here, I know that I've been a witness.
Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Good Fight Radio Show, brought to you by Good Fight Ministries. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at goodfight.org, where we feature articles, videos, and life-changing resources on DVD and CD. If you're blessed by this show and would like to partner with us in continuing to deliver powerful biblical content, won't you consider visiting our support page at goodfight.org? Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 2202, Simi Valley, California 93062, or call us toll-free at 1-866-JC-TRUTH. That's 1-866-528-7884. We thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope you'll tune in next time on the Good Fight Radio Show.